Intervju Radija Študent.
Eres intervju s Juano Molino. Argentinka iz Buenos Airesa, ki danes igra v klubu Cankarjevega doma ob 21. v sklopu 30. mednarodnega festivala Druga godba. Že leta 2004 je New York Times njen album Tres Cosas uvrstil med najboljših 10 albumov leta. Z njo se je pogovarjal Jaka Špiler.
For starters, could you please introduce yourself in your own words to all the listeners of Radio Student who might not know who Juana Molina is?
Well, I am Juana Molina, as you just said, and I am a musician from Argentina. And I've been playing for a long, long time already. And I really hope they will find out and like or discover something they may be interested in or enjoy it, preferably.
Thank you. Do you agree with the statement that every musician is initially a listener of music and then later becomes a musician? And could you tell us a little bit about your musical upbringing, maybe first as a listener?
Yes, I absolutely think so. I think you couldn't do something without knowing what it is. And I think I was a very good listener, and I had two very strict parents that had a very strict taste and particular moods for music. And I'm gonna close that door.
Thank you.
There was lots of music at the house when I was a little girl, and we used to dance a lot, and we used to play music and to be aware of what was happening, and always impersonating many kind of different singers. We were singing like this one, like that one, or we were making fun of someone else. So, yes, music was very present in my whole childhood and my teenagehood too. Yeah.
So now that you have your own family, do you still tend to continue with this tradition and do so?
No, I think I have been a little selfish because until a certain age, up to a certain age, I got kind of fed up with music. So it's not that I am fed up, but I prefer to be in silence. And unfortunately, my daughter had to live my period of me being in silence all the time. So, but somehow she found a way to cultivate herself with different. With a different family, maybe with her friends, and I don't know. I did play lots of music when she was very, very young, up to 4 years old, but then I really prefer to not have any sound anywhere ever.
This applies still?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, but what about, I don't know, when you already mentioned your daughter cultivates on her own, you know, what music does she listen to and stuff, so maybe did you ever hear some music that she listens to and you paid attention to?
Absolutely, yes. She made me discover, for example, its name? I mean, it's past now, it's not... That she listens now. She's a Nirvana fan, and I think she will die for him to be alive again. And what was this band? Is MGMT or it's like that? MGMT, that I found really special. I don't know. They have something that I like a lot. And then I showed her Conan Moccasin, for instance, but because I thought she may like it, but she thought it was a bit too mellow. But still, she liked it. And now we are in this kind of nice war to see who listens to the coolest thing. And but I think she's got lots of information. Unfortunately, I can't remember the names of the things she shows me right now. But now, at this very moment, she's listening to lots of 90s music, or maybe earlier than that, like Joy Division, or very tortured, cool music. Yeah.
Okay, if we skip or return to your youth or childhood days for one more time, what were some crucial turning points in your life, if any, when you realized that you also want to become a music performer?
I dreamt and thought about being a musician since I have conscious, except I couldn't do it in front of people. I play the guitar since I am very young, and I've been writing songs for a long time. Silly ones, stupid ones, easy ones, nice ones, bad ones, all sort of songs. And but again, I just couldn't, as soon as I saw or thought that someone could hear, I would stop playing. Because I didn't want anybody to think that was easy, stupid, silly, or bad. I was very self-conscious and I was very shy. I'm not a shy person, but regarding music, I think that I took it with too much importance, so it became something like almost impossible to do, until the day I realized that I was gonna die without doing it, and had to work a lot to be able to play in front of people. But I knew I wanted to do that since I remember.
Okay, given that we don't get to hear about musical scene from Argentina often, at least here in Slovenia, mm-hmm. I must add, it must be a more or less regionally enclosed or maybe even self-sufficient musical scene. So was it difficult for you starting a musical career in such environment with maybe a little different type of music?
Absolutely, but especially because I became a well-known comedian. So that was the main problem, much more than doing a different kind of music. The problem was that nobody wanted me to leave TV, and it was a very hard time to try to get the press interested. I would get interviews and I would get reviews and I would get critics, but they would just mention that I made a record, but then they would talk about why did I leave TV, and they would talk about my characters and my impersonations. So I would have a very big, huge central pages in the newspapers, but they weren't talking about the music. And nobody played me ever on the radio. And so it was like starting from under zero, because I had, from the start, lots of things against. So it was like for a little plant to grow under a piece of iron, I don't know, that someone just put in on top of it. I had to climb underneath that piece of iron and go on the side and make my path through it somehow.
But otherwise, your music has been fairly soon noticed by foreign music promoters and labels, such as...
What do you mean by soon?
Fairly soon.
No, I started in 95.
Okay, but by 2000 there were already reissues of your certain albums of yours on this Domino label. This is what I meant.
Yes, they...
So
they,
I said fairly soon.
No, that was in 2003, actually. So 8 years later, it's true. I think, anyway, I think that record, Segundo, made... It was like a child, because I had it, I made it, and I left it, and he made its own way. He... Segundo found... a place in Japan, and then someone heard it in Japan. Like, I didn't do anything for him to become what it became, and I'm so proud of that record. And I think I was lucky to finally got into foreign ears, because I was kind of doomed in Argentina. And so when everything came from a foreign country, especially from England, because Domino was an English record label, and England is the mecca for the kind of music I do. So there, more people started to pay attention, and also I had a mention on the New York Times, and everybody was, what? And they were interviewing me, and while they were interviewing me, they were saying, but you must have done something good, because the New York Times mentioned you, and I don't know, but... And it was... They didn't realize they were talking, actually, to me. And... but it was... I don't know, it was a good thing that happened, and... I'm finally... Well, got to Slovenia.
So after that period, I would say it was much easier for you in terms of getting concerts abroad and
yes,
and stuff like this.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, listening to your albums, I notice on one hand a gradual development of the elements that seem they are inherent to you in some kind of way, so that like they were there since always in you. But on the other hand, especially with this latest album, Wet 21, I have an impression that many musical elements that are now played live instead of being looped, which was a technique that you often used in the past.
Yes. No, but actually the loops were... no records, none of them have loops recorded. They are all played. The thing is that I needed the machine to play live, but the machine didn't exist. So I had to play live. At the beginning, I started by playing with a playback, but I got so bored instantly that it didn't last more than three shows. After half of the third show, I was like thinking about, did I leave the kitchen door open? Maybe I should call my mom while I was playing. It was really, really boring. So that didn't last at all. But very soon came the pedal I was looking for, and I immediately made use of it as I really needed, because I already knew what I wanted from it. But in the records, all the recordings are played. I play the same thing. It's like I'm playing a loop, but I'm playing it. If you could put one loop on top of the other, you would feel that they aren't the same one, because I just love to play that way. And the difference between this one is that I didn't want to create the music on top of something that had the feel of being looped. I didn't want to, especially because I had developed this, I don't want to call it technique, but neither formula, but I had developed and discovered and managed this way of doing music. And I knew what I was doing. So I knew that I was able to make another record like that, and it was gonna be more or less good than the others. It was gonna be like part of the same thing. So what I didn't want to do was that. So what I did was to try to play on things that didn't have this mantric feeling. It was very hard, because apparently that's what I am. So, So I was trying not to be myself, actually. So that was that's why it was so difficult. But so what I tried to do was to get, okay, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I think it's over very soon. I may not have done something totally different than what I do, but the way I did it was different. So I may have ended up by having a similar record, but it's like when you want to change your food. You change your food, but you always like the same things. So maybe you cook it differently, but at the end, little by little, you end up by eating always the same things. So maybe the process is different, but the music is, I think, I mean, I find it very different than the other records, but I can see and totally can relate this record to the previous ones.
Me too.
Okay.
So how do you see in general this relationship between making music and performing music?
Very different processes. When I'm making the music, I am in a total absence of thought, of preconceived ideas or anything like that. I am, at the beginning, I just start, and when a dog finds their place, they turn around, and finally they find their spot to stay, and they stay. Well, at the beginning, I'm like that, getting distracted by phone calls, or maybe I should do this and that. But after a few days, a week or two, something happens, and I am totally on the other side of the mirror of whatever you want to call it, and I am in the music. And when I'm in the music, I'm not there anymore. I really don't have the feeling of being at all. I am just following some things I see and playing, I don't know, I play a sound, and it's like immediately the sound tells me where to go with it and how to play it. And if I don't have the sound, the fact of programming a new sound is also the same, but like I am totally not noticing what I'm doing. It's a collaboration with the instruments. You can't compose the same song in a different instrument. So I wait for them to tell me, okay, with me you can do this in this way. Well, then I finish the record. And then I look at the record. And I see it. And I study it. And say, ah, okay, so this starts like this. This is more important than this part. How do I do? Okay, let's start from what I think is the most important, this part. And I loop or play that part. And then, okay, the melody, I think it's pretty important. And I pay attention. But how many times did I do this? Ah, but what chord is that? And I am looking for, I really have to learn how to play the songs again. So it's totally, because there's only thought and calculation and study and observation. So this is not sounding the same, so maybe I should find another effect that makes that, for instance, I can't sing three voices at the same time, so I just add an effect that makes the voice more bold, or yes, bold. Yes, spread out or something, just to have the same effect. Even if it's not the same thing, you would have these different colors that are more or less, I don't know, like putting a peach instead of a mango. I don't know, okay, they have something in common, peach or mango. They are not the same, but they have the same function.
So if I'm not mistaken, it seems that you do all your music on your own, by yourself. Mm-hmm. Did it take a lot of time for you to grasp the technical aspect of music making and producing sounds?
Yes, it did, because if you listen to Segundo, which is my first solo record, solo meaning that I did everything, not solo because it's... Yes, because I recorded, I produced it, and I did. There was no one else in the room with me. If you hear the quality of that record, you will see the difference between the next one and the next one and the next one. The recordings were pretty poor. I didn't even know how to record. I didn't know you had to reach a certain level of signal to have a better quality of recording. I didn't know what an EQ was. I still don't know how to use a compressor. And there are many things that you do by hand, like the compressing thing. Someone told me, but that thing that you're taking a day to do, you can do it with a compressor. Okay, let me do it. So I play with the volume line and say, okay, here, and I just draw.
Automation curves.
Because I think I go, little, okay, no, here it's too loud and here it's too quiet. I think that's easier than just, a compressor wouldn't know exactly what I want. Unless you're a master of sound and you know how to use all these infinite possibilities. And I think I would get, it would be too much for me to learn that. I wish, sometimes I see videos of people, the younger women, and they are there with their amazing studios and handling everything, and I feel a little jealous, because I would love to be like that. Because if you get into my studio, you would say, but where's the studio? Because there's nothing in it. There's nothing. Just a few instruments and a computer and everything else is just like really like an artisan work. So in Segundo, for instance, there were some takes that had lots of hiss, like very noises everywhere. And by the end of that, of the making of that record, I had learned a little bit, because it took me 2 years to make that record. So I said, oh, okay, I'm going to redo this. And I re-recorded something, but it was like dead. It was not, yes, it sounded great, but there was no one behind that. And so I decided to keep the bad versions with the good feelings. And so that's what Segundo. Because then I thought, my favorite records, many of my favorite records, are recorded in a tape recorder with a very out-of-tune guitar and a voice that you can barely hear, but you can still... I mean, the idea is transmitted beyond the way it's recorded and beyond the way it's sung or played or anything. I mean, there's something in that particular recording that makes that so special. It's like sometimes people come to me with tapes with their music, and I found it's great. And then they show me the final result, and I think there's nothing left of what it was at the beginning. There's this kind of obsession with production that is really good. It's really good, but you need to be first an amazing musician, or like, for instance, I saw, what's their name? Nine Inch Nails. I saw their show a month ago or two. It was amazing. It was really amazing. But they had, in addition of what they are, they had all this production that made them amazing. But only the production.
In the song Vive Solo from the album Un Día,
yes,
you claim how everything you do solo. But tonight, on the stage of Club Zanchi Vega Doma, you're not going to be solo.
No, but solo is a masculine. So it's for a man, and it's in a third person. He lives on his own, he does everything on his own. has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
yeah. There's that word in my songs all the time. Solo, I mean alone, or mother, and daughter, and there are very, I don't know if that word exists, recurrent words that, excuse me, come from probably some problems or some preoccupations. Yes, but that word comes all the time. And I try not to use it all the time because I say, people are going to think I'm a poor, lonely person.
But as I've mentioned and tried to ask about...
Yes, tonight.
Going to perform tonight.
Yes, we are going to perform. We are a trio. And we have Diego López de Arcaute on drums. And Odin Schwartz is playing mostly keyboards as a bass and a little bit of guitar. He's actually a guitar player, but he ended up by playing keyboards. And he sings also a little bit. And both of us, Odin and I, have worked a lot on the discovery of how to put these songs together. Because it was much more difficult than the previous records to figure out how to play it, right? And he helped me a lot.
Maybe only a quick word about lyrics before the end of this interview. Mm-hmm. What are the typical motives or things that you sing about besides what you've already mentioned?
Yes,
a few questions before.
It's usually very common situations, the everyday situations of someone, for instance, his things are all thrown away and his mom comes in his room and she tidies everything up, and when the guy comes back into her room, he can't find anything because her mom's been there putting everything in order, under quotes. But it's actually, for him, it's the opposite, because he knows where everything is, even if it's anywhere. Or, again, relationships, love relationships, family relationships. But in little things, not like the big thing, I love you, you left me, I'm sad, I'm crying. Just that day when you told me this little thing, I realized that you meant something else. You know, this little... things that you discover sometimes, I say, and that little thing that has, in the big picture, is almost nothing, but is the actual key to understand everything else that you hadn't understood before. Or what else? Then there's another song that talks about me wanting to be someone different, totally different. And one day I will do this and I will do that and I won't care what people say about it. I'm still waiting for that day to come. And then Singiano, for instance, is a song that talks about the fake idea of being free. People that feel that they are so free, but I think they are actually some little invisible legs that are attached to everything, and because you see your limbs free, you think you're free, but it's not. It's pretending, pretending freedom, but it's not the actual one. In order to be really free, you need to be almost a genius, I think. And so the fake freedom. What else? I can't remember right now.
Okay.
But those kind of things. I mean, things that everybody could relate to. And the lyrics are very simply written, as in very colloquial way. And but that doesn't mean anything for the people that don't speak the language.
Okay, given that this is the first occasion for you performing in Slovenia, could you make a little invitation to tonight's show for the listeners of the Radio Student?
Of course, I would love to invite as much people that would like to come and discover us. And I mean, it's so different to have a show with lots of people because there's something in the energy that happens when there's a full house, and it makes everything work better. Because when you're on your own on the stage and there's only a few people, you feel like everything went wrong, that you've done everything wrong in your life and that you've missed everything, and why, what am I doing here? But still I need to be nice to the only ones who came and blah, blah, blah. So I wish it were a standing venue, but because it's really different. It's completely a different show because people are packed and start dancing and moving, and when they are seated, it becomes harder for us to it's like we have to drag them instead of them having us like a wave for a surfer. The peak of the wave. When there's a standing venue, we feel like we're surfing. And if not, we are just swimming to the wave.
Okay, Juana Molina, thank you very much for this interview.
Of course, thank you.
Eres intervju je pripravil Jaka Špiler.
Intervju Radija Študent.